the Sefer names through Parsha Frameshir for Parsha Shmini. We look at the Sefer Darash Moshe, Rav Moshe Feinstein, who lived from 1895 to 1986. And the Pasuk comes up in Parsha Shmini, in Perek Yud, Pasuk Tezayin, when the Pasuk says, Ve'is Si'ira Chatas, Darosh Darash Moshe, Vihnei Soraf. Essentially, Moshe thoroughly investigated concerning the Chatas, and it was burnt. And he became angry with Elazar and Isamar, Aaron's surviving sons. And Rashi tells us that Darosh Darash, Moshe really had two questions. First, why had this Chatas been burnt? And second, why were the other Karbanos not eaten? I've often heard this Sefer or Moshe on the Parsha be referred to as Drash Moshe, but because this is in connection with this Pasuk, the correct pronunciation of the Sefer is Darash Moshe, after the phrase Darosh, Darash Moshe. So Moshe passed away in 1986, and this compilation of his thoughts on the Parsha was published posthumously in two volumes by his family members, specifically Rav Mordechai Tendler, a grandson of Moshe, and Rav Shabti Rappaport, who married Rivka Tendler, the granddaughter of Moshe. They collected all of his written drashos, and it was published by Shabsi Frankel, a renowned publisher, who Shabsi Frankel passed away in the year 2000. Now, these drashos were mostly given on Shabbos Shuvah, Shabbos Agadol, over the years when he was in Russia, and also in the yeshiva Tiferes Yerushalayim in New York. Now, Shabsi Frankel writes in the Hakdama that before Rav Moshe's passing, he asked Rav Moshe what his sefer of his drashos should be called, and Rav Moshe asked Shabsi Frankel what he thought the sefer should be called. So Shabsi Frankel responded that he thought it should be called Darash Moshe, based on the pasuk in our Parsha, Parsha Shmini. And Rav Moshe concurred. I think it's fascinating that Rav Moshe, who was a Torah giant, the leader of a generation, had such anava, such humility, that he didn't even care to pick out his own sefer name, that he deferred to Shabsi Frankel, the publisher, and concurred that Darash Moshe would be a proper name for his sefer. Now, Rav Tendler and Rav Rappaport write in the Hakdama that Rav Moshe felt so strongly as to the importance of publishing Svarim. Because on the flip side, one could say, what do I really know? Or I'm doing it because of gaiva or haughtiness, or maybe things in the sefer are incorrect. Rav Moshe writes that if a person has the opportunity to reach many and only reaches a few, he's lacking in a certain key of Talmud Torah, which is very apropos for today with the advent of the internet and other technologies that allow us to distribute Torah worldwide, that Rav Moshe felt that to not engage in those platforms and to only reach a few is lacking in a certain sense of a key of Talmud Torah. Rav Moshe also writes personally that he remembers when he was in Russia and he was not permitted to bring with him his own writings, his own ksavim. And so when he had the freedom to circulate that, he took that as a privilege. So we should also feel it's a privilege to be able to distribute and disseminate Torah, because there were many times in history where Jews historically were not permitted to circulate with freedom their Torah thoughts. And so for us to be able to do so is a privilege we should not take lightly. Rav Moshe would sometimes give drashos for up to 3 hours, all agadata, all drush, no halacha. And he wrote down his drashos that he gave from 1966 to 1980 in two notebooks, which he called Kuntras Agada Achas and Kuntras Agada Beis. His grandchildren reorganized and put each piece on the related parsha, and multiple pieces relating to the same topic on the same inyan. So we should realize that this wasn't Rav Moshe giving a Dvar Torah each week. These were gleaned from many drushos he gave on various topics at various times and just simply put to the Parsha. As we find many Svarim nowadays, you'll have Rav Soloveitchik on the Haggadah, you'll have Rabbi Lam on the... So certain times, it's not that they gave it on the Haggadah, but rather things they said relating to Psachim or relating to Pesach were then taken and put in a compilation on a certain topic. So this is Darash Moshe is an example of that. Their grandchildren also write that they left out certain drashos if they were too fact-specific. They related to a certain person or a certain specific event of the time. So Darash Moshe is very much limited in terms of what it contains, and much more. There's a much more vast body of drushas that Rav Moshe gave that are not included in the Darash Moshe. In the Hakdama, they recount that Rav Moshe once said the following during a Purim Suda at his house with his Talmidim. He asked, "Why is Purim called Purim? The lottery was such an insignificant detail in respect to the miracle of Purim, the fact that we were saved from Haman's decree. The lottery was obviously a piece of information that was necessary, but the whole holiday is named after the lottery." Additionally, the Gemara in Megillah and Daf Yud Gimel on the base says that Haman was happy when the lottery fell out in Adar because Moshe died in Adar, not realizing Moshe was also born in Adar. So what does that mean? What is that trying to tell us? So Rav Moshe writes that in Christianity, the priests consider themselves to be on a higher level than everyone else, and therefore they have different rules. They have to remain celibate. And others view them as intermediaries. Essentially, the common folk can speak to the priests and view them as almost a channel towards their God, or what they perceive as their God. However, from a Torah perspective, Moshe says, no Jew is actually any better or any higher than any other Jew. We all have the same laws to keep. The only difference, what distinguishes one Jew from the next, is gadlus b'Torah. And that's something that every person can work on and achieve for himself. And that is why the Torah used the lashon sisa, ki sisa es rosh b'nei Yisrael. In regards to the Jews being counted, it uses the lashon of to being lifted up, so that we can realize that we all, even though we're all number one, two, three, we're part of millions of Jews, and we're just ourselves, we should realize that we all can be sisa, we all can be lifted up to the highest level through our own actions. There's nothing holding us back other than ourselves. So Haman was happy when the lottery fell in Adar, because he knew that Moshe died in Adar. And from his perspective, if the leader of the Jewish people died in Adar, it must be the Jewish people have themselves been weakened. Since if the leader goes down, everyone goes down. Because don't we gain our sustenance? Don't we gain our inspiration from the leader? But Haman's mistake, says Rav Moshe, was that Moshe was born in Adar, just like everyone else. Meaning, Moshe started out as a regular person. And so too, every Jew in Klal Yisrael starts out the same way Moshe can. As the Rambam famously tells us, that we all can achieve the level of Moshe Rabbeinu in our own way. And therefore, even if Moshe Rabbeinu is no longer alive, the Torah is not lost because the tzaddik dies. And that's why we name the holiday Purim al Shem HaPur. Meaning, Haman thought we live and die by the tzaddik, that we cannot on our own achieve greatness only through someone else. He's wrong. Each of us have the potential and our equal and our ability to achieve greatness. And that was the greatest miracle. And that's why we are unable to ever be destroyed. You can destroy our leaders, but you can't destroy us, because each of us have unbelievable potential. And his grandchildren write that Rav Moshe gave us the Torah, that Moshe Rabbeinu gave us the Torah. Rav Moshe Feinstein gave us his words of Torah. Both of them did so to allow us to learn and grow. And therefore, even after Rav Moshe's passing, or the grandchildren write, we are a nation that can never be destroyed. We can take his words, we can take his messages, and we can use them to inspire ourselves. The Gemara at the end of Sota says that when Rabbi Akiva died, Batla Kavod HaTorah, that Torah was, the honor of Torah was nullified. And Rashi says that, what does that mean? It means that Rabbi Akiva used to darshan every letter, every word, every crown of every letter in the Torah. And that's what Kavod HaTorah is. Kavod HaTorah means to treat the Torah with such value, to treasure it. The same way if one had a diamond, the smallest diamond is so valuable. Someone who shows Kavod HaTorah is someone who takes every letter, every word in the Torah, and treats it with such chashivus, such importance. Every single word and letter is so meaningful. Nothing's levatala. And that, says his grandchildren, is how Rav Moshe learned as well. He was so adamant that every letter, every word of the Torah has such value, has such meaning, and he lived his life with that sense of Kavod HaTorah. Rav Moshe cared deeply and took very seriously the drushos that he gave in public. When he would prepare, he would open a chumash and learn intensely, not looking up or getting distracted for some time. He was always prepared for his drushos. He never did it kilachar yad. He never winged it. He never said, well, I know a lot, so we'll figure it out when we get there. It's really a good lesson to any darshanim, any rabbis out there, or anyone who's preparing a speech. Very similar to the element of Kavod HaTorah, which we just spoke about, that it's not giving chashivas to the Torah to try to wing something, to try to say, I'll figure it out. If you really think Torah is that important, it requires the proper preparation. He also mentioned in Ramosha that he regretted not writing down all of his drushos, as many of his drushos were given on regular Shabbosim and Yom Tovim, which are now unfortunately lost for our benefit. Ramosha told his grandchildren that when he left Russia to come to America, his train stopped over in Berlin, and he slept there that night. And he was extremely nervous to come to a place like America, which back then, there was not the level and the strength of Torah that it is today. However, that night when Ramosha went to sleep, he had a dream. And in that dream, he saw the Pasuk in Tehillim, in Perek Kuf Mem Aleph Pasuk Vav, which says at the very end of that Pasuk, V'shamu Amim Ki Na'imo. They heard my words, which are pleasant. And like Rabbi Yochanan in the Gemara in Brachos and Daf Nun Hei, we know that a dream is a part prophecy, a part nevuah. And Rav Moshe felt comforted that as he was making his journey to America, that he felt v'shamu amim ki na'imo. He felt that people would hear his words and they would accept them as being pleasant. And he used that as chizuk, that he would be able to have an impact in America with his words. And as we know, no one has had a greater impact on Torah learning, Torah study in America than Rav Moshe Feinstein. So this is a little bit of background into the beginnings of the Sefer Darash Moshe, which again was written posthumously. And as we know, Rav Moshe is responsible for so much of the Torah learning that we do till this very day.